Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Ruthie Epstein, who is an immigration policy analyst and lobbyist at the American Civil Liberties Union. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ruthie Epstein.
Thank you.
And what are we to make of this cruel policy on the part of the Trump administration, which Trump is denying separating children from their parents at the border? There was an iconic photograph on the front page of the New York Times last week of a 2-year-old Honduran child just crying her eyes out, and she's on the ground, and her mother's leg has separated her from an ICE officer who has the mother up against her vehicle, and he's behind her frisking her. And it's the photograph of the child is just of pure anguish. And you have to conclude that President Trump is guilty of child abuse, and yet he's denying it and blaming it on the Democrats.
Yeah, I think your instincts are exactly right. Trump is lying when he blames his cruel family separation policy on the Democrats. There is nothing in the law that requires this administration to be taking children from their parents. It's a choice that this administration has made. It's a cruel and terrifying choice. It's particularly poignant today on Father's Day to recognize the brutality of this policy. The fact is that this administration is taking children as young as 53 weeks, as young as 4 months from their asylum-seeking parents when they arrive at the border. And this practice is unprecedented.
So what is President Trump referring to in the press gaggle at the White House driveway on Friday, where he said, "I hate the children being taken away, but it's the Democrats. It's the Democrats who passed the law." What's he talking about?
Yeah, he's, as usual, he is putting forth alternative facts and untruths. Attorney General Sessions has said publicly and explicitly that the current zero tolerance policy at the border, which requires U.S. attorneys' offices to prosecute every single person, regardless of if they have kids, who crosses the border between formal border crossings, to prosecute every single person for the misdemeanor crime of illegal entry. This was a policy, a directive that the Attorney General announced in April. The DHS Secretary Nielsen concurred with this policy in early May, and together both DHS and DOJ are complicit and have directed their officers and attorneys on the ground to prosecute every single asylum-seeking parent and take their child away from them. So this is completely a crisis of the president's own making. When he tries to blame the Democrats, he's making things up.
Well, I saw the clip of Attorney General Sessions announcing a zero-tolerance policy and saying that they were going to separate children from mm-hmm. their parents, and that was the fault of the parents for coming here in the first place. And that was clear. And then more recently, of course, Attorney General Sessions has tried to justify the administration's lack of compassion and, you know, outright cruelty with a quote from the Bible, which,
yeah,
of course—
The administration is being completely disingenuous, and they know exactly what they're doing. They have in their heads that ripping children away from their parents' arms will deter unauthorized migration. In fact, you know, you can imagine anyone who's a parent with a child, or anyone who has an ounce of compassion, can imagine the difficult choice it is for a parent to take his or her child, leave their home country, travel for thousands of miles, potentially in dangerous circumstances, a journey that could cost thousands of dollars that they don't have, to come to the United States because they believe that they can find safety in the United States. This is not a choice that any parent would take lightly. And the idea that punishment on the part of the United States for these parents seeking safety would deter that journey is preposterous. It's cruel. It's cruel what this country is doing. And I think it's incumbent on everyone in this country who has an ounce of compassion to speak out, to call on their members of Congress to condemn this policy and really to put it back on this administration, because it's on them. They don't need new laws in order to stop this policy. They're choosing to do exactly what they're doing, and they know exactly what they're doing.
And again, I'm speaking with Ruthie Epstein, who is an immigration policy analyst and lobbyist at the American Civil Liberties Union. Of course, the policy is the brainchild of senior White House policy advisor Stephen Miller. He used to apparently been the one that convinced President Trump to enact this policy. And since it's been in effect now for less than a month and a half, nearly 2,000 children have been taken away from their parents and placed in these sort of grab bag makeshift government shelters, one in a Walmart and others we don't even know about. Isn't that that's the really frightening part of this, that there's no transparency about these mm-hmm. detention facilities, what's happening to these children, whether they're being exploited for cheap labor. You know, they have so-called sponsors. We don't know who those people are. We also are learning that some of these government contractors are making a ton of money out of this, and that it's a lot cheaper to have sort of NGOs do this stuff as opposed to private contractors making money out of the misery of these immigrant children.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, as you're alluding, there are a lot of different pieces to this crisis. There's a lot of different government actors. There's a lot of different interlocking systems. And for folks who haven't been studying the immigration system, or paying close attention to it, it can be pretty overwhelming. And it's confusing, partly because there's a lack of transparency. But you know, on the question of what happens to the kids. So under the law, a child who is by himself, an unaccompanied migrant child who comes to the border alone, seeking asylum or seeking legal protection in the United States, cannot be held by ICE or CBP for more than a very short amount of time under the law. They're required by law to be transferred to an agency called the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. So already we're talking not DHS, but HHS. ORR historically has run at pretty high capacity. But the way they handle these kids is they subcontract out to nonprofit and for-profits to run smaller shelters that are to hold these kids to hold unaccompanied migrant children until an appropriate guardian or sponsor can be found. And it's important for your listeners to know that this doesn't mean that somehow these kids are being released into America, never, with a free pass. That's not at all what is happening. What happens is that the government puts these children into deportation proceedings, but permits them to stay with family or guardian as those proceedings move through the court system. So what we're seeing right now is ORR is strained. They are beyond capacity, and that is a direct result of this administration's family separation policy. So ORR now has to deal not only with truly unaccompanied kids, but also with kids who have been rendered unaccompanied by the government. And one tricky thing there is that those kids who have been taken from their parents are oftentimes much younger than the kids that ORR is used to handling. So they're kids who are called, as a term of legal art, kids of tender age. So it's young kids who are not able to be by themselves, right? They're not teenagers. So the tent cities and the other sort of ramshackle quick constructed facilities that we're starting to hear about on the coming from ORR is a direct result of, once again, the policy that has been chosen by this administration to balloon the population of kids that ORR needs to ensure the safety of.
So what's happening in terms of at this press gaggle, because President Trump made references to Republican bills, and it seemed he wasn't sure which one he supported, and he's had to reverse himself. And Paul Ryan is trying to wrangle the so-called moderate wing of the Republicans and the hardline Tea Party wing, Freedom Caucus, anti-immigrant caucus, to come up with some kind of compromise bill without any Democratic votes. They're supposed to have, a caucus meeting on Tuesday. What's your sense? Nancy Pelosi doesn't think they've got a prayer of getting anything passed. But this is, what seems to be a pretty cynical attempt on the part of the Republicans to get some kind of political cover for the cruelty of what the Trump administration is doing.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. This administration has clearly decided to use Dreamers and now asylum-seeking families as bargaining chips to make radical and cruel changes to existing immigration law.
And to build this damn wall. I mean, that's the leverage he's using, and that's what he wants in exchange.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's of course become Trump's talking point to rile up his base. But many members of his party are actually far more cunning and have identified ways to eviscerate the existing legal immigration system, which they would have to make changes to the law for, and to tack that on to this sort of to the rhetoric that the administration continues to use around the wall. So I think the wall has become a very powerful symbol, and especially for Trump's base. But the other changes that both Republican bills, the Goodlatte bill and the Paul Ryan so-called compromise bill, would make to the existing legal immigration system are devastating.
Can you explain just in the last couple of minutes why they are and what they would do?
Sure. So I think it's important for your listeners to understand that both bills are extremely anti-immigrant bills, and neither, including Paul Ryan's bill, would do anything to actually end family separation. So the Republicans and the administration are somewhere between being disingenuous and straight out lying when they suggest otherwise. I think it's almost not even worth talking about Goodlatte's bill. It should be a non-starter. It's a devastating, cruel bill. Paul Ryan's bill is also devastating and cruel, but does include a path to citizenship for some Dreamers, which is one way he's able to sell it as, or able to characterize it as a compromise. But it's important to note that the Dreamer protections in Paul Ryan's bill are worse than the protections proposed by the White House framework, and worse than the Senate Republican bill, the bill that was offered forth by Chuck Grassley that failed with a vote of only 39 senators. So the Dreamer protections in Paul Ryan's bill are the worst that we've ever seen. Additionally, that bill would provide $23 billion for the border wall. It would authorize more than 50,000 Border Patrol agents. It would make it much easier to deport children more quickly. It would authorize indefinite detention for children and their families without adequate protections for children in detention. It would halve the number of asylum seekers permitted to come to this country by raising the burden of proof required for people seeking asylum. It would eliminate the diversity visa program. It would limit paths to citizenship for a number of categories of family members that are currently have a path towards citizenship. And it would mandate every single law enforcement agency in the country to comply with ICE detainer requests. So this is, at the risk of veering into policy wonk
territory.
The immigration system is quite complicated, but these are all the mechanisms by which the government, by which the Republican Party and Trump are seeking to reduce legal immigration and to turbocharge the immigration enforcement system. And that's what both of the Republican bills would do.
So we have to work hard to stop them, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, Ruthie Epstein, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your interest.
And again, I've been speaking with Ruthie Epstein, who's an immigration policy analyst and lobbyist at the American Civil Liberties Union. And we're going to take a brief station break and back looking into whether the White House press corps can unite to force Trump and Sanders to stop lying and answer questions.